I always count it a privilege to be able to talk to God's people. Are you God's people? Yes. Amen. You're God's young people. Amen. And I have a great place in my heart for you, because I, of course, was a young person once, and I went through a lot of struggles as a young person. And finally, as you'll hear in my story, I finally found a relationship with Jesus Christ, but not until I was quite a bit older, in my mid-20s. And I was not raised in a home with Christian advantages. And when you're raised in a home where Jesus Christ lives and reigns, there are tremendous advantages. Does anyone here live in a home where Jesus Christ reigns? Praise God. I didn't have that advantage, guys. I was raised in a home where, first of all, my mother was 16 years old when she got pregnant with me. So she was very young. Something that's wise not to engage in when you're not married is to get involved in those extramarital affairs, premarital affairs. And then my father, biological father, was only 19. He was already graduated from high school. And my mother was dating an older guy, because that's the thing that you do when you're a young lady, supposedly. That's what the world teaches you. And through that poor decision, she found herself pregnant, and she found herself having me at 17 years old. In fact, I'm in the wedding picture. You can't see me, but you can see me, because my mom was really big out to here with me. And unfortunately, when young people make choices that adults engaged in marriage can only and should only make, it leads to trials and tribulations in your life. And my mother found herself as a 17-year-old girl that had really no life experience with a brand new baby and a husband. Now, it may sound, maybe that's part of your dream, ladies, is to have a husband and to have a little child and cuddle that baby, and that's wonderful. That's a God-given dream. I love that. But when you're 17 years old and you're married to a 19-year-old, life usually isn't the greatest. And that's exactly what happened in my situation as a little baby. My mother was a stay-at-home mom because my biological father named David didn't want her working outside of the house. And that was for mainly control reasons. And my biological father had a problem with alcohol. He had a problem with drugs. He had a problem with not keeping down jobs and holding jobs, even though he was given many different wonderful jobs by different people, including some of the family. And alcoholism runs deep and ran very deep in all of my father's side, and drug abuse, and no Christianity. And so there was no Christianity in my home as I was beginning to grow up, and young parents that frankly didn't even want to be married. They got married because they had to. When my mother came and told my grandmother that she was pregnant, she received a slap across the face, and she was told, "You will get married, young lady." And back in the 50s, that's what happened. You got married. And this led to a very rocky beginning of my childhood that continued to be rocky. My mother had two more children with the same father, so us three boys are from the same mother and father. And we moved more than we changed the sheets on the beds, because my father was never reliable. He never brought home the paychecks, and you can only stay in a home or an apartment long enough until they finally, by force, kick you out. And so finally, my mother got sick of this by the time I was 6.5 years old, I believe, and she finally decided to divorce. Now, she even had biblical grounds back then, because he wasn't satisfied with just his young wife. He had to go out and chase other women around, and had a great problem with infidelity and cheating on his wife. So not only was my biological father a drug addict and an alcoholic and a worthless person in the sense that he didn't provide for his children and his wife, didn't sustain us. We were on welfare and shopped at the secondhand stores, and people gave us clothing, and we were very, very poor. Then so can you see that the first choice that my mother made as a young girl led to some disastrous things already. I was only 6 years old. She has three boys now, and she made some improper choices and chose to be intimate with a young man because, you know, older guys want to be involved in ways that young women just should not be involved in. You know what I'm all talking about, right? Your parents don't think that you know what's going on in this world. I know you know what I'm talking about. Am I right? Let me hear an amen. Okay, good. We're on the same wavelength. You know, I don't have my head in the sand. Some parents do. And they think that, you know, even as good ASI attending Adventist Christian children, youth, that you don't know what's going on. And I know the reality of the age in which you're at currently. And so the first wrong choice was she shouldn't have gotten involved with that guy. Would you agree? Okay. And it led to not only her life being affected, but also his life being affected and three children's lives being affected. Are you on the same page with me? So then she divorces him and goes through this process of a year of feeling lonely, and she's looking for another mate. By this time, she's in her early 20s. And she finds another man, and they get married. And he turns out to be our worst nightmare. She made a second poor choice. She got married for all the wrong reasons, you might say. This man started out very heavy-handed. Eventually, it led into very, very heavy abuse. My biological father was in and out of our life at this time. He even went AWOL from the army. And eventually, he sexually molested all three of us. And then my stepfather became extremely heavy-handed and began abusing us, not just mentally, which he did, not just physically, which he did, but he added to it emotionally as well. And my young friends, I hope you cannot relate. I hope you can't relate to this. But he would beat us. So that, to give you an idea, I was struck so hard in the head that I had a grand mal seizure. I don't know if you know what that is, but I went into a full-on seizure where your body just flips out and freaks out, and I was taken to the emergency room. I had seizures thereafter that were sort of controlled by medications. Head trauma. It wasn't just spanking. It wasn't just getting the belt out. It was being scourged. It was being physically pounded on. I've been tied up. I mean, and you know, how many times do you ever read about children going through these kinds of things? It's not a very common occurrence being tied up. And so my mother made another bad choice, and that bad choice, of course, spilled down to us as three children. And we were suffering under the scourging of a man that I believe was totally led of the devil. And I hated my life. And it never got better, and it never got better, and it never got better. And my grades were horrible. I couldn't even concentrate in school. I'd sleep most of the time because we would go and work in his shop. He owned his own business, and we would go. At least he had a job. That was my mother's thing. She married for financial reasons, and he had a job. But I would have taken broke over abuse. You know what I'm saying? And so I would characterize the beginning part of my childhood, because my testimony is called my protector, my savior, my friend. Amen? Now, when I didn't know Jesus Christ, and my mother didn't know Jesus Christ, and my biological father didn't know Jesus Christ, and my stepfather didn't know Jesus Christ, all the while, friends, I can look back now and I can tell you this, my friend. I can tell you that Jesus was my protector. You know how I know that? Because I even found myself at one point making a bargain with the devil. That's kind of scary, isn't it? I wanted my life to end. I hated my experience. I remember sitting there, and because I wasn't raised in any sort of Christian home. My step family were Catholic. And periodically they took me to the Catholic Church. And I saw people who were mean and vicious and nasty to one another. And as we drove to the church, something miraculous would happen. As they stepped out of the car in the parking lot, they became holy people. And what I saw was a big fat facade. Unfortunately, I see that in our church today too. Some of you young people know what I'm talking about. Mom and Dad, they've learned how to become actors and actresses. They act like everything is wonderful and great at church. And, hey, brother, how are you? I'm blessed. How are you? And then they go, get in the car, you know, and they're just, rah! And that's what I experienced as a young person. What it was a form of godliness denying the power thereof. Amen? They didn't have the power of Jesus living and reigning in their lives, giving them victory. And so I thought as I was growing up as a young boy, all the people, all the adults in church, in any sort of church, have got to be hypocrites. Because they acted one way when they were in church, and they acted like angels when they were in church. And you're like, man, if they would act like that at home, life would be good. And that's the only exposure I ever had, was through my step-grandparents who were Catholics. And so, of course, I wanted nothing to do with religion. But yet I found myself as a young man crying out and saying, if there is a God out there that can get me out of this, then get me out. And nothing would change. Nothing would change. And I would cry out over and over and over again, and nothing would change. You see, my mother made choices that put me in a bad situation. Is it important to make good choices, friends? Jesus Christ is the only one that can help us to make the right choices. Amen? The world's standards, your friends, the schools, the things on TV and in TV and on your iPods, those don't help you to make good decisions, generally speaking. They help us to make poor decisions. Is that the truth? Is that the truth? Yes. And so, my early years were characterized as my protector. Jesus, I had not met him yet. He was not yet my savior, but he was my protector. Amen? And because there were times when I tried to take my life. My brothers and I would fight. I actually felt we were violent children. I was suicidal. I hated my life. I felt I crushed my brother's windpipe in my hand one day. We were violent children. We were living in violence. That's all we knew. And I was always told I'd never amount to anything. I was actually called a foul name. I won't even give you an idea of what it was, but that was my name growing up. My name is Christian. Even though my mother wasn't one and I wasn't raised as one, my mother now says it was prophetic, praise God. But I am now being raised in a home, being led of the devil, and I can't get out. And I remember laying there and I said, if you're all powerful, why can't you save me out of this? And nothing would change because my mother made the choice. It wasn't God's will that I live in that. Amen? It wasn't God's will that my brothers lived through that. Or my mother. I had to see my mother. He used to love to grab our hair and shake us like this. And he hit us in the head because, you know, bruises can't show very well through the hairline. And I remember one time I thought he was going to kill my mother because that's what he told us. If you say anything, I'm killing your mother. And to my mother, if you say anything, the boys are dead. And you know, the abuse and the torture that I suffered, I believed it because I knew what he was doing to us already. And if I really got him mad, I don't doubt you. And I saw how he treated my mother, grabbing her by her hair, shaking her, literally throwing her across the room from your hair. I mean, no hair could do that. And literally breaking my grandmother's rocking chair into many pieces. We went and ran to our rooms, got our baseball bats, and we were going to take him out. And then he started chasing us, and we take off. This is my life. Did I need Jesus? Oh, my whole family needed Jesus. Listen to this scripture, friends. John 16:33. In the world, you shall have tribulation. Did I have tribulation as a young child? I did. Romans 5:6. For when you were without strength, when I was that young child, I had no strength. I was living in a dictatorship. I had no strength. In due time, Christ died for the ungodly. You see, God came in the person of His Son and died. I didn't know all of this. And you as young people, actually, even if you grasp something, it's so far beyond what I knew about Jesus and Christ and salvation and power through Him. And so He took me and somehow, some way, gave me courage. He protected me. He was my protector because I tried to take my life. Over and over again, I tried to kill myself. I would go and I would ride my bicycle. I tried to do accidents on purpose to make myself a paraplegic. I didn't care. I just wanted out. I'd ride my bicycle off the roof of my house, hoping that I'd really injure myself. Of course, now they do that for fun. But, you know, back then, I didn't have the bikes they have now, you know. And my brother wrestled a knife out of my hand. I was done. I was going to take my life. And then at 16 years old, a sophomore in high school, this happened from when I was 6 years old to a sophomore in high school. How many sophomores do we have here? Or younger? Sophomores. I was your age when somehow, some way, God gave me the courage. Because I know it didn't come of me, because I was a beaten down kid. I had no self-esteem. I had everything I did failed, and it was horrible. And even though I didn't, that was the programming I had. And God, somehow, some way, gave me the spirit of courage. And I went to Child Protective Services. And a long story short, eventually I sat my mother and my stepfather down, and I told them the beatings will end. Now, on the outside, probably on the inside, I mean, not on the inside, but on the inside, I was trembling like a leaf. How would he react? What would he do? Would he finally go off and actually end it all? You know, you read about things or you hear about stuff when all of a sudden a father snaps and he goes and he takes out his family? I didn't know if that was going to happen. I honestly did not know where it was going to go. Yet God gave me the courage. I wasn't crying out. I cried out to Him, excuse me. But I didn't accept Him as His power, because what happened was nothing would ever change. And I remember laying there on my bed and saying, if there's not a God then, and there's a devil, and you can get me out of this, then get me out. Yeah. Don't ever pray that, by the way. Okay? But God, as my protector, said, Satan, my boy doesn't know what he's saying. Get thee hence. Amen? Because God had loved me while He was moving me together in my mother's womb. Even though it was a young womb, He loved me. It wasn't my choice, it was my mother's choice. And He knew me in the knitting of that womb. And He said, I have an expected end for Christian. I have something brilliant and wonderful for him. I have loved him with an everlasting love. I'm going to protect him. Yes, his mother put him in terrible situations, but I'm going to protect him through it. Friends, I could tell you story after story after story where my life should have ended, but some miraculous way it was preserved. Praise God! So the first part of my life could be characterized by God, my protector. And it says here, I believe that I experienced this. Psalm 91:11 says, for He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Now, it didn't say in all of God's ways necessarily, in all thy ways. And I didn't know God, and He was keeping me even in all my ways. He was sending angels to protect me when cars that were rolled and things that would happen, I'd walk out like nothing ever happened. Because God had his protecting hand over me, even though I wasn't crying out to him. That's a beautiful thing, my friends. Finally, I found my courage. Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, he is that what will what? Go with thee, right? He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. And I found myself sitting now. I wasn't a Christian. I wasn't claiming these promises. I do now, praise God. But I wasn't then. But somehow God still implanted that courage inside my soul. And I went to Child Protective Services. And we laid out a plan. And I sat there and I sat right there face to face with my mother and my stepfather. And I said, the beatings will end. I wasn't that emphatic. I was like, the beatings are going to stop. You know, I've been talking to people. And then, of course, he explodes and bolts off to the back of the house. And my mother goes chasing after him because she was just, woo-hoo, she was gone. And she finds herself coming back into the room and trying to convince me that I've done something wrong. What are you doing? You're going to get us in trouble. And I spanked you too. I said, Mother, with the wooden spoon. And we laughed. We go, you know, ha-ha, it didn't hurt, you know, because I... Unbelievable. But she was so twisted in her mind that she was deathly afraid that we were all going to get in trouble. Somehow, someway, God got through to my non-Christian mother and she found the courage. And one day she finally told me about a number of months after that, we're leaving. Where are we going? I'm just, She said, we're leaving. You said that. Where are we going, Mom? She says, no, we're leaving. I said, where are we going? And she says, no, honey, I'm divorcing Gary. And I was like, what? I'm divorcing him. You can't say anything, though, because we have to do this secretly. And I have a police standby, and the family's coming, and we have to escape. We have to get out of here. And I'm like, I mean, you don't understand. The moment of joy that comes to a soul that has been tormented for my whole life. And now I'm a teenager, and she finally tells me, we're going to be free. You know, when it says that David danced unto the Lord? Man, I did a little jig right then. I was like, we're leaving! I did. We're leaving. And we did. The police came. We had the police stand by. The whole family came, loaded up the U-Haul, and we were gone. I started studying martial arts. I got really good at it. And my whole goal was to go back and to take him out. I'm going to be honest with you, my friends, where I was at, okay? My whole goal, when I would sit there and train, I took Taekwondo, and I sport Taekwondo, so we actually got to spar, and we got to hurt each other, sort of. We weren't supposed to, but we did. And every time I saw my opponent, I saw his face, and I was becoming, actually, they wanted to recruit me for the Olympic team. Because I was violent. And I'd just take him out. I'm serious. I'm not proud of it now, but that's where I was, okay? I don't recommend martial arts. And then I found an escape in theater as a young non-Christian boy. We moved to a different town. We moved in with my aunt for a while, but then we moved to a different town. And I found myself there. I'm going to really have to speed up because I'm not even partly through my testimony. But what I found was an escape through theater. I didn't deal with the reality of my life and all the emotional scars and all the pains and all that type of stuff. And so I found kind of an escape in the theater, literally becoming different characters, and I found kind of like I put my life on pause, and I didn't deal with all the emotions. And my two brothers, as we escaped this, and I say this word carefully, but when we escaped hell, the hell we were living in, for some reason my mother and I didn't like go and flip out. I still think that was the guiding hand of God. My brothers went off the deep end. They got involved in drugs as young as 12 years old. My brothers have been in and out of prison, alcoholism, drugs, infidelity, manufacturing meth. I mean, they swung the wrong from total oppression to no one's going to tell me anything. They swung to the opposite extreme. I just kind of hung out in the middle there going, what's going to happen now? I didn't know. I didn't get involved. I tried drugs. I tried alcohol. I tried all these different stuff because that's what friends were doing in the theater. And I experimented with these different things. And frankly, it was the worst experience, and praise God, every time I tried something, I had a horrible experience. I was like, forget that, forget that. And then I see my friends who continued with it. Their life are amounting to nothing. I'm almost 40 years old now. And you didn't think I was that old, did you? I know what you're thinking. That's the health message, by the way. But what happened was, I found an escape in that theater. Even though I tried all this junk, God protected me. He was still my protector. And eventually I graduated high school. My grades were really just skated by. I never studied, never did anything. I couldn't even focus. And I could listen to nothing in class and just pass. And I was just a very average kind of student. I finally got there to the different high school, and the theater teacher started to challenge me. And before you know it, I was pulling A's and B's. I went to college, junior college, and I started pulling straight A's on the president list. And I started to excel because different people started to believe in me. And I found another way that I could escape for a while, and I got into TV and video production. And I started in that while I was in junior college, and I had grand dreams of becoming the next great Hollywood director, producer, editor, and that's what I was going to do. And I got involved in production in a very deep way. And I started at the bottom, and I went from being a control room operator and shooting city council meetings, which is the low part of production, to eventually editing and shooting and directing and script writing and really coming into my own. Well, I'm fast forwarding over many years now and having good success at it, eventually working with PBS and Nickelodeon and MTV and all these really ESPN and all these wonderful different worldly, of course, at the time. I didn't know any better, so don't, you know, throw me out yet. So I was engaging with all of these different worldly stations producing worldly programming, but I was becoming very successful. And then I started a business with some business partners. And we were wildly successful. We had developed into three companies. And at 25 years old, we were wildly successful by this time, 3 years in business. And I was making so much money. A nice sports car, nice condo, nice furniture, nice clothing. I mean, it was what you thought was the American dream. I thought I had arrived. And I had so much cash all the time because some of our business was, we actually had the green stuff, cash. And I was spending it like it was never going to stop. And unfortunately it did, because my business partner embezzled from our companies and put me at 20, I was 24 at the time, put me into a six-figure bankruptcy at 24 years old. And I reaffirmed a huge amount of that because my family had invested in our companies. And I had put my word on it, and I said, I will pay you back if it takes me the rest of my life. I'll pay you something every month, whether it's a dollar or whatever. I will pay this back because my word is my bond. And so eventually, over the next 12 years, over a decade, I paid everybody back. But I had lost again. I had been violated. Before, as a child, I was violated emotionally, spiritually, sexually, physically, every way, and now I was violated financially. Everyone I ever put my trust in had let me down. Everybody. Girlfriends, you name it. Everybody. My mother, I had nobody. I met a young lady that was, after I lost everything, I went back to production. Actually, that's when I became quite successful at that and started working with all those great companies. I met a young lady, and we found ourselves I found myself back in freelance photography and videography production, and I was called by a man in California who wanted me to come, by my producer actually called me, and he was called by another man, and he wanted me to come videotape this thing called a camp meeting. And no idea what a camp meeting was. I loved camping. I grew up. We did camp. I thought for sure that we were going to learn about the greatest and latest tents, you know, high altitude stoves and all. I had no idea. I thought I was going to a camp meeting, a meeting about camping. Now you're laughing because you know that's not what a camp meeting is, right? So I'm sitting here, I go and meet the director, the man that was putting on the camp meeting, and I said, hi, I'm Christian, and I'm here, I've been hired to direct this, and my producer so-and-so called me over and gave me the job if I wanted it, and then said, so I needed to talk to you about, you know, camera angles, and do we need a handheld for the demonstrations, you know, of the tents, and all of a sudden, he's like, what? And I said, you know, for the camp meeting, right? And he's like, yeah. I said, so we're shooting, like, demonstrations, right? Like, maybe even survival stuff or whatever? He's like, oh, camp meeting. And I said, what just happened here? You know, and he says, hey, these are religious meetings that people camp at. And I went, oh. And my producer, I call him up. I didn't have a cell phone back then, but I call him up, and I'm like, did you know these are religious meetings? He's like, yeah. Why didn't you tell me? He goes, you wouldn't have taken my job. I said, that's not cool, man. He's like, have fun. Click. And I'm like, I was the furthest thing away from a religious person that you could be. I didn't want God. God didn't help me when I was a child. I didn't want religion. I started studying all of the ology classes in college, and I was convinced even more than ever that there was no God. Now I got to sit there and watch this religious rhetoric? So I turned to my crew, right when he said, oh, can't be, these are religious me. I turned to my friends and my crew and I said, you're going to need a seatbelt because this one's going to be boring. You're going to fall asleep, gentlemen. And, you know, we're just doing sports and all this other kind of stuff. And I'm thinking, how did I get myself into a camp meeting? So we set up. And the whole time I'm just like, you know, I can't even believe this, you know. PBS and ESPN. I'm here at a religious camp meeting. I'm just like, the whole time. I get it set up and I'm reluctantly sitting in the production truck. And I'm like, click. Camera one. Ready one. Take one. Click. Click. And I'm just sitting there switching. And I'm just not even, I just can't even believe this is my lot in life, okay? And then all of a sudden, something starts to happen, and I find myself being intrigued by what they're saying. At first, I'm like, these fools, you know? Yeah, oh yeah, the Bible, yeah, yeah, and all this kind of stuff. And I'm sitting looking at it and listening, and I'm like, what? What do you mean America's in the Bible? Wasn't the Bible written a long time ago? How could that even be? And he's talking about prophecy. And this other guy's up there talking about health. I had poor health. He's up there eating weeds. Literally. He was. I'm not kidding. This guy was like, woo-hoo, you know. He was eating weeds. He even was boasting. He's like, all right, because he lived out in the country. He's like, look at this, friend. You don't even understand the bountiful things that God has for us. And he's like, he had this Ziploc baggie. And he goes, I was driving here to the camp meeting this morning. And look at this. I was pulling off the side of the road going, well, I could eat that. And I could eat this. He had weeds. I'm thinking, this is my case. He's proving my case. They're wacko. Of course, I eat the weeds now, but yeah. So here I am saying, oh, Lord. I didn't say, oh, Lord. I'm like, I can't believe this is going on. But something clicked with me with that guy because he was just crazy enough, but he was so convicted by what he was saying. I was like, man, either he really knows what he's talking about, or he is so deceived. This is like a perfect actor. I thought, like, you know, wow. And there's all these other preachers up there. There's like four or five different main speakers, and I just found myself being drawn right through the camera's lens. Interesting. By the way, I love holy convocations. I love camp meetings. And you know what blew me away, to use a term? When I was there, I saw so many young people that were so polite, that were so happy. They were on fire, and they were going out, and I'm thinking, I didn't know if they were Jehovah's Witnesses or Mormons, or I had no idea what was going on with this religious group, but they were out doing outdoor activities well and knocking on doors and doing stuff, and I was like, these kids actually love doing this stuff. And friends, I want to tell you, that was a witness to me as a mid-20-year-old. Wow, they got something. They got like joy. They did this. I was so blown away by this exposure. I have to fast forward because I'm on only page 2.5 of 6 here. So, and I have to stop, what? In 5 minutes. So do I fast forward or do you invite me back? I don't know what your schedule is, so tell me what to do. Hold on, counsel. The meeting of the minds. So anyway, what happened was, I went from having this experience where I didn't even want religion, and now I find myself, because I'm getting paid to listen to religion, okay? And I believe the devil was at work that day, and God was at work that day. The ministering angels were working overtime. They were in a taekwondo fight. No! Get away! He's my soul. And they were fighting over me. I believe there, you know, Ellen White says that if we could pull back the veil and see there's a very real war going on between Christ's angels and the devil's angels for our souls. Have you read that? And I believe that war was happening those 4 days during that camp meeting. Because there's times where I would be like, come on, man, I just want to get out of here. And other times I was like, wow. That's awesome. So I'm going to fast forward now. I found myself leaving that part of the country, that part of Central California, and I moved off to Santa Barbara. I was now going to embark upon my visions of grandeur of becoming a Hollywood director. And so I enrolled at Brooks Institute, which is a very fine film school, very high-end film school. And I was going to go forward in this wonderful production life of mine. And I found that I made the same poor choices that my mother did. Now, I was older. I was now in my mid-20s. And I got my girlfriend pregnant. It was a poor choice. And I found that this led to great turmoil in my life because at 5 months we lost the baby. I didn't know this before, but my wife had made some very poor choices. And she was not a Christian. She was raised in an atheistic home. And she had a purity about her. As a non-Christian, non-moral, she was moral, but she was a non-Christian. Does that make any sense? She had made choices to save herself for marriage. She didn't, even though she was hanging out with older girls, because she was younger, she was hanging out, you know, she's like 17, but she's hanging out with the 19 and 20-year-olds, going to these parties and these different things, and yet she was saving herself for marriage. She, where that came from, she still doesn't know. Because she wasn't raised in that kind of house. Yet she was just petrified of the whole thought of all this, and she wasn't going to do any of that kind of thing until she was married. And she found herself eventually having the older boyfriend. The older boyfriend was pressuring. She was no. She cuts it off. She shows up at a party. He takes her into the back room with two other friends, and they do the worst thing possible to her for an untold amount of time, friends. Poor choices. Don't do it, young ladies. Please don't do it. You don't even understand the world of hurt you're going to cause yourself. And as a result of the damage that happened to her through that experience, that's why she couldn't carry the baby. And we lost the baby. You want me to finish? Yeah. Oh, that'd be fine. Okay. So can we finish it on Sabbath morning then? Okay, good. So that means you have to show up. Amen? I'll show up if you show up. Is that a deal? Bring your other friends. Okay? it gets better. Because I've been telling you the bad stuff, but it gets really awesome and it gets really better. Amen? Let's have a word of prayer together. Gracious Heavenly Father, I'm sorry that we weren't able to get to seeing a miraculous hand and taking a wretch like me and giving me the gift of salvation and forgiveness of sin and to call me into ministry and to bring my wife and I to have children and all the miracles you worked for us, Lord. I just pray that you would keep this testimony on pause until we reconvene on Sabbath. I pray you would protect the souls of these young people. I pray that you would cause them to rise up and to take the job working for Jesus Christ. I pray, Father, that you would protect their hearts and their homes. And if anyone here is going through anything like I went through, I pray you would give them the courage to come talk to one of us adults. Please, Father, I pray that you would give them that courage. And I can see it sometimes in their eyes. And I just pray that you would please give us the strength, give us the courage, give us the power to become Christians. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you, my friends.
This presentation from the 2008 ASI International Convention in Tampa, Florida, has been brought to you by American Christian Ministries. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 1-800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministries.org. There you will discover the largest selection of genuine Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There is no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. Peace.